Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We begin in Northeast Asia. Last week, North Korea threatened all-out war against the South if South Korea imposed sanctions. This morning, sanctions imposed in the wake of a study that suggested North Korea was behind the sinking of a South Korean warship earlier this year. The South has announced a range of economic and political actions against North Korea, and U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has issued a stern warning today to North Korea that the U.S. will firmly stand by its South Korean ally. BBC's John Sudworth is in the South Korean capital, Seoul. He joins us now. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
So is it the case that Hillary Clinton and the sanctions imposed this morning ratchets up the tensions, or are we starting to see a plateau here?
I think there's little doubt this does increase tension on the peninsula. Trade between the two halves of the peninsula matters a lot more to the north, of course, because of the relatively tiny size of its broken economy. So this move by the South to ban ships from the North from entering South Korean waters is more than a symbolic gesture. That will hurt the North Korean economy. And I think the North will also take exception to the move, now confirmed in this announcement today, that South Korea is seeking action at United Nations Security Council level. So I think it's certainly beyond doubt that this does increase tension. And Hillary Clinton herself, speaking in Beijing, called the situation highly precarious.
And in both cases, though, the Chinese could compensate for whatever losses in trade South Korea has produced with these sanctions and also vote against the U.S. in the Security Council. Are you struck by the language in Hillary Clinton's statement and also statements from the White House over the weekend that the U.S. is coordinating with military officials to make sure that the South Korean military and the U.S. military are sort of on the same page?
I think it's a clear sense we have here of America standing behind its South Korean ally. And the other thing we also notice very strongly is the efforts going on in Beijing as we speak with the U.S. Secretary of State there trying to find out from the Chinese just what they're prepared to do in terms of joining any international consensus or coalition trying to determine a punishment. I think there's a sense of frustration both here in Seoul and in Washington that the Chinese are trying to play the role of a sort of wise giant, weighing up the interests not just of its new economic partners in America, Japan, for example, but also its old ally North Korea. And some people are saying, look, the evidence of North Korean involvement in the sinking of this ship is so strong that the Chinese have to come off the fence. 46 South Korean sailors died in this incident, and the Chinese, I think, are being lent on very strongly to join in the condemnation.
So finally then, John, if China doesn't say it will vote with the U.S. and the Security Council or doesn't declare that it will not compensate or make up for the trade lost by South Korea, does this ratchet up to being a confrontation between the U.S. and China?
I think it's certainly an issue of strong debate. Let's put it that way. We don't yet know what the results of these discussions in Beijing will be. I think if China does fall short of lending its full support, I think there will be some disappointment. It may be in the end that China simply abstains from whatever action is determined by the international community. It's, of course, urging caution, and I think there's got to be some understanding in this region of why it's taking that position. It knows just how vulnerable the North Korean economy is, and China really fears any action that would push that economy over the edge because of what the consequences for instability, further instability in North Korea would mean for its Chinese neighbor.
All right, John Sudworth, BBC correspondent, speaking to us from Seoul, South Korea.
Now let's turn it over to our listeners. On Friday, we told you about how a team of scientists in Maryland developed new living bacteria from non-living parts, and they're calling it the first synthetic life. Is this a scientific breakthrough, or does it sound to you like something out of the movie Frankenstein?
Well, we asked you about the best movie or story that sends the message, be careful with what you create. Becky framed our conversation with her comment on thetakeaway.org. She wrote, I believe there are many sci-fi movies out there that may seem far out. They are actually getting closer to being possible, though. Craig from New Jersey might have had one in his mind.
Best film I've seen in a while of humans run amok, or, you know, technology out of control, is actually a recent film called Moon, about humans mining the moon for minerals and using a sort of clone army to do it.
Great comments from y'all. Their Moon was a critically acclaimed movie that came out last year starring Sam Rockwell.
But Becky from Detroit had another movie in mind.
You want to give your child the best possible start. Believe me, we have enough imperfection built in already.
That's Gattaca, the 1997 movie that takes place in a world where eugenics is a reality. Becky commented at thetakeaway.org. The movie Gattaca is not too far off from future reality, in my opinion. The society screens pregnancy and picks only the most perfect DNA genetics. Those parents that choose to have a natural selection process have kids that are discriminated against.
Maybe there's a sequel to Gattaca in the works. It's just going to be a documentary on Nova. For some of you, though, the idea of synthetic life poses a much more existential question. And here's a comment from Mervin in Manhattan.
Before the scientists start creating life, let them figure out a way to save life on this planet in all its various forms. Let them work as hard on that as they're working on creating a particular cell.
That sounds like he's almost talking to the scientists working in the Gulf right now, doesn't it?
Well, there was a particular irony last week that we were talking about endangered species in the Gulf at the very same moment that they were creating a new species of bacteria.
Very ironic. We sure could use some synthetic life, maybe cleaning up the oil there. So what are your thoughts on synthetic life, or that irony, dealing with destroying life on one hand and creating it on the other? Share your thoughts with us at 8778-MY-TAKE, or you can leave your comments at thetakeaway.org. I'd said before that my favorite movie in terms of that warning, careful what you wish, what you design or create, is Blade Runner, but my sister said Logan's Run.
Logan's Run's a good one. What about Soylent Green, one of the worst Charlton Heston movies ever?
Never seen it.
Oh, gosh.
You're saying I'm not missing much.
Well, there's a line in there. It's people. Those of you who've seen Soylent Green know what I'm talking about.